Hello, I'm Hannah Barger. I've been working in atmospheric chemistry, and I've recently joined the Peter Murray Rest Group, working particularly with Lausanne since about mid-February on using OSCAR to tag atmospheric chemistry papers. Like I say, we've only been doing it sort of since mid-February, so it's quite an early project, so I don't expect for full results yet. But it sort of shows what we can do in this time frame, as sort of really a month of my time and a couple of months of Lausanne's time. We aim to do this in order to increase the visibility of atmospheric science to the general public. It's an area of science which is of general interest, particularly with concerns regarding climate change and general air pollution, etc. It should also help to increase the speed with which somebody starting perhaps new in the field can do a literature search, particularly a student starting a PhD or something similar. It would provide easier access to published field data for modellers who are carrying out simulations of air pollution or climate model predictions. And the idea is really to be able to show this data, how it connects with other, how one particular research campaign might connect with another, even outside of atmospheric research. So perhaps people are doing studies in hydrology, etc., water chemistry, that sort of thing. I use the word research campaign here, research campaigns here. They tend to be the way that a lot of field studies are done in atmospheric chemistry. There'll be a big focused effort from people working with the field station or with aircraft, with a lot of different instruments, and they tend to be these campaigns where we find out the most information, really. A specific example could demonstrate other things as well. The way people use the journal, for example, which universities use this particular journal, where people work in a particular field site publish their data, etc. Perhaps how the campaigns are published as well. You can often say a campaign may be published within a special issue, but it may then have some later publications as well. The publication, the journal we've been looking at is Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics. It's a publication of the European Geophysical Union. It's freely available. There's an online version of the XML abstracts. There's an XML version of the abstracts, also HTML version of the abstracts. The rest is PDF, so not quite as easy to look at. ACP covers a range of atmospheric chemistry studies, so field studies, laboratory studies, and modelling. So we searched the ACP website for ACP abstracts containing the word station. We thought this was a nice, easy starting point because we'd have a good chance of mapping where the data came from, and it would be something that would be quite nice to illustrate Lausanne's work. Sam downloaded the abstracts for us. We started off with about 400, but it turned out that many of those were duplicates, and in some cases the word station was only within the affiliation or the references. So we've come down to about 200 abstracts to look at, which is quite a nice number to be able to compare by eye, as well as with the OSCAR tagging and chemical tag. The method we're using is really the work that Lausanne has been doing, combining the open source natural language processing tool for with the processing of chemical text. It uses OSCAR for your chemical entity recognition, and it's been, Lausanne's developed it to become extendable and reconfigurable so that we can use our atmospheric science examples. So this sort of, the picture here shows how OSCAR and the natural language processing are combined with specific regular expression tagging for atmospheric chemistry, atmospheric science. The work I initially started with was looking at some resources that we could use with this to develop some dictionaries. IUPAC published an atmospheric chemistry, atmospheric science dictionary, some glossary, some time ago. It's now somewhat out of date, but it's nevertheless it's the only sort of official dictionary of atmospheric chemistry that we have, so that's what I started with. There are other online dictionaries, but nothing that really was particularly more suitable than the older IUPAC atmospheric glossary. There are a number of meteorological glossaries around, and we chose one from NOAA to start with. We took station coordinates, these are the field station coordinates, from the Global Atmospheric Watch Programme and the European monitoring set of stations as well, which are known as EMEP. The IUPAC glossary I had to change slightly. I removed anything that was simply chemical because that's already done within OSCAR. And I updated it slightly and removed things which I didn't really think were relevant to this kind of processing. I also started with a long list of acronyms. Most of these I took from the British Atmospheric Data Centre. They have a list of acronyms. There are a number of other websites that have acronym lists as well, including NOAA. But they're all a bit. None of them really have all the information you need. Some of them have information that you wouldn't think you would need either. There are acronyms that are duplicated within atmospheric science as well. For example, ACE can stand for the Aerosol Characterization Experiment, or it can stand for Atmospheric Chemistry Experiment. So the original work on the acronyms was somewhat put aside because Lausanne thought we could do this in a better way, and I'm sure we can. But it's nevertheless a useful resource to have and to maintain, and I think using the work that Lausanne has done, we can actually develop this acronym list further. We've not done a lot with units, but we've put in the units which are quite specific to atmospheric chemists. Atmospheric chemists tend to use units of parts per million, parts per trillion, parts per billion, that sort of thing. And the unit work really relates to works that Joe Townsend is also doing to publish a units dictionary. Right, the chemical tagger has been adapted in order to construct an atmospheric chemistry grammar. It extracts kind of obvious things like location, time, obviously OSCAR chemicals, it will extract as usual. But Lausanne has put in parenthetical phrases, which, you know, just basically things in brackets or commas, which we use together with the acronyms, and also we use campaigns to try and further develop my acronym list, which contains things like campaign acronyms with the campaign names, also things like instrument names with their short name and their full name, satellites commonly also used in atmospheric chemistry, and model names as well. Lausanne's added a couple of additional action phrases to the ones she already uses in Chemical Tagger. So we have a measurement phrase and an observation phrase. And as I said, we've added mixing ratio. It's just one way to look at, to check again that these are the measurements that are being made. For location, Lausanne's added tags for things like the station, as in this is the field station name, the country, the location in terms of degrees, latitude, longitude, altitude. And so this is an example of a string that might be passed. And the output, I don't know how well this shows up. You can see it's a location phrase. It gives the proper noun for the station name. This is what's telling you that it is a station. We've also tried a few other words, I think, but mostly, I mean, station is the one that comes up time and time again because of the particular search that we did to begin with. But you could also have field site, for example, in here, or site at least. So then it's tagged, the latitude and longitude are tagged. Direction. Then this is giving you your altitude, so just the number here. This is saying that it's in meters above sea level. Time phrases, again, something that Lausanne's added. So this is between September 1985 and September 2007. So it's within a sentence. We have two time phrases linked together with a conjunction, and also the preposition here is useful to really describe how these dates are being used. So we don't just simply say we've got 2 years here, or we can say how those 2 years are related together. Campaign names, like I say, these are commonly used in atmospheric chemistry. This is a nice one, Chablis. Chemistry of the Antarctic boundary layer and the interface with snow. So it's a campaign phrase noted by the word campaign. There could be another in a number of other words in here, for example, project, study, that sort of thing. But they're fairly limited. There's not much else you're going to call it, really. So we have our acronym phrase, Chablis. So these are done by basically looking for a regular expression similar to this with lots of capital letters, with a following parenthetical phrase which explains what it is. So you've got your full phrase here. Okay. And these are the action phrases that Lausanne's added. So we've got measurement and observation. Basically, these are much the same. It's essentially telling us that the compounds are being measured in the atmosphere. It distinguishes from, for example, from simulations. And this is an example just of a compound with its concentration and error here, and how it would turn up out of its being tagged. So you've got Oscar CM saying it's a chemical benzene. The symbol equals this quantity. So the concentration measurement, and again, just the numbers, the symbols. And here we've got saying that it's parts per trillion. Sorry. In order to visualise the data, we've been using a Google spreadsheet and Google Maps. This is a first go at looking at the data. We think it's straightforward, basically, provided the data is in the correct format for a spreadsheet. I think we could improve this because the data doesn't necessarily lend itself to being in a spreadsheet format. This is a screenshot showing stations, field stations, just on a map, and you can click on each of those to tell you a little bit of detail from the abstract. For example, the field station name, its altitude. This campaign, this tells you what's within the campaign phrase. So in this case, it's a MINOS campaign, and it says measuring C7 to C14. So these are C7 to C14 hydrocarbons. And you could also click on there to see the original abstract. Another one, so a field station in Crete. I think it's the same one as previously, isn't it? Again, this shows you, in this case, that the campaign phrase is given the full name as well as the acronym. You can see that it's measured some real compounds there, but also we have a number of false positives. And that also gives you concentration measurements. Again, this is one where I can confidently say I can pronounce the name of the field station, Macehead, to the west of Ireland. It's just by the Atlantic Ocean. And here, this has been part of the measurement, or the publication, was part of the NAMBLEX field campaign. And here they've been focusing on measuring halogens in this coastal region. So we don't—they don't just come from Europe, although it does seem that most of the publications are focused within Europe. This one from Nairobi here. That's another one. So for the examples we've chosen, we found that roughly 60% of abstracts had a clearly identifiable station location. We've only seen one false positive, and that was Montreal. It wasn't being used as the fuel station. In this case, we were talking about the Montreal Protocol. 70% of the abstracts had a clearly identifiable date or dates. Few false positives there, but not very many. Measured species, we have quite a number of false positives. And we're going to look to see what we can do with those at the moment. We may end up filtering them in some way. We're able to pick out mixing ratios. Not quite sure how useful this is yet in terms of the concentrations, because you need to have the associated words. But at the moment, most of these words are picked out within the action phrase measurement. So you can see, for example, if this is a background concentration, if it's a maximum, if it was in the atmospheric boundary layer, the planetary boundary layer. So it still requires, you know, a fair bit more work to see how much we can get out of this. But to conclude, we have the basis of a tool for quickly viewing ACP abstracts. They pick out location, dates, field stations and campaign names, measurements. And I'm sure there's more that we can pick out yet. We need to improve data extraction, improve some testing, and improve the visualization. This is work's been done, I say, mostly really by Lizanne, but we also have to thank Sam and I think Joe as well for some of their input, our funders and the ACP editors who've encouraged us to do this. Okay, so I think if I could just show you what the map looks like that we've plotted some of the data on. This is a Google map which has a timeline at the top, so you can pick on your dates, and you can pick on particular field station. And see where it is. Jungfraujoch is used quite a lot, actually. As I think counted 27 publications which mention this particular station. It's very high, so it measures free tropospheric air. And in this case, as you can see, we've measured this publication seems to be concentrating mainly on nitrogen oxides. If I pick another one. You see, I think the campaign name here, for example, hasn't been picked out, and it should be in campaign rather than in what was measured. But so we still have a little way to go. But I think within the short time that we've had to do this, I think we've learned quite a lot, and we have. I think it'd be nice to spend a little more time on it. I think we have until the end of June to keep going with this. I think we can. We can produce something that would look quite pretty at the end of it. Okay, thank you.
You're only using the abstract for the papers, so one obvious question is how much more data is there if you look at the whole paper itself?
Okay. Can you repeat the questioner and the name?
Right, Glenn Carver is asking why, how much more information we get out of the full paper rather than just the abstract. I think we haven't done it, so we don't know the answer, obviously. But there's going to be a lot more within the paper itself. However, I think if you want a quick view, I mean, that's what the abstract is designed for. So the abstract should contain most of the basic information that's going to give people a quick view. So I think for something that's going to be plotted like this, then I think the abstract probably is all you really need. I think if you go into the PDF itself, you're going to have complications because you're going to have people referring to other people's measurements, or you know, things which were really done outside of that particular project. So I think really the abstract is probably the best, at least to start with. I would say it's a lot harder to look at the rest of the paper, particularly as it's not available. It's in a PDF form. It's available, but as a PDF. Okay.
So can I ask you?
Of course.
How easy would it be for, you know, a general scientist to adapt the parser to their own particular discipline, staying within this type of work?
Well, as I said, we've...
Can you repeat the question?
Sorry, of course. Peter Murray Rust is asking how easy it is to adapt the parsers to a particular new science area.
Yes,
Liz Anne.
I'll repeat it.
expand the tigers. So what we did with Hamel's stuff is we had the regex tiger, and we've added information from all these glossaries and dictionaries and other rules we found for measurements. The parser would be the parser is basically you have to write your own antler grammar at the moment. To get it running.
So I think, in summary, Lizanne is saying that it needs an expert to develop the parsers at the moment. However, somebody like me can come along and say what you want, provide some dictionaries, provide some regular expressions that you'd want to look at. And yeah, within 3 months, we've got some of the way there. Well, sorry, 2 months. Well, okay, 3 man-months, if you like. We've got some of the way there. So, but yeah, I think now it's been done once, it would be easier perhaps to do again. Okay. All done. Thank you very much.